We're going to start off this series with learning the Sefer Savat Harivash. We're not going to go through the whole Sefer, but we'll select some pieces that I feel like are applicable and can help give us an extra level of chizuk in our everyday avoda. So this Sefer is a Sefer that's basically a compilation of different teachings from the Baal Shem Tov and his student, the Maggid of Mezrich. The Sefer was actually, when it first came out, it was burnt by Misnagdim. They were not into the publication and distribution of the Sefer. But a lot of these teachings you could find in earlier Svarim, such as Toldos Yaakov Yosef, but they presented them here in an easier, more concise fashion for the masses. So we'll start off by Aleph. Seva me'arivash, olosh on liotamim bavar so yizbarach avodatam. It's just instructions from Yisrael Baal Shem Tov that a person should try and be tamim in their service of Hashem. Right, so this derech is basically how the Baal Shem Tov, one of the ways the Baal Shem Tov succeeded in saving so many Yidden. Right? Because a lot of the Yidden at the time felt that if I don't have a kavua place in the Beis Medrash, and if I don't have good kashas on the sugya, so then I might not have a place among the Jewish people. Maybe this isn't for me. Right, but the Baal Shem Tov came to teach everyone that even if you can't read, even if you don't know how to daven, there's still a place for you in Yiddishkeit, and you could be close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Veker sholishkach lishkoach adbarim. And the person should be very careful to remember these words. Veker lo mod b'chol yom shir musar hin rav hin ma'at. And a person should be careful every day to be learning some musar, whether it's a little bit or a lot. A person should make sure that they're always working on bettering themselves. V'der ot tamid l'davek es atzmo b'minos tovos v'anhagos yisharos. And a person should be constantly on the lookout to attach himself to the proper way of acting and to good midos. Right? So it's very easy nowadays to get caught up in what the world may deem as acceptable, an acceptable way of acting. You know, what might the world might conceive as good midos. Right? But it's very important that we take a step back and we ask ourselves, okay, what are my beliefs? What are the Torah's beliefs on acceptable behavior, on midos tovos, on the right way of living my life? And it happens all the time that we're living a certain way and we're talking a certain way and we're acting and dressing a certain way. And then we get this new job or we go to this, you know, you go to this college or you go to this new school and all of a sudden you start adapting to the way that they're talking, the way they're dressing, or the way they're acting. And if you don't check yourself, you know, with this little bit of muster of trying to realign yourself with your beliefs, so you can get very lost from that original goal you had of who you wanted to be. V'shelo yaniach shum yom me'asiyas mitzvah hin kala hin chamura. And that a person should make sure that they don't go a single day without doing a mitzvah, whether that's considered a light mitzvah, whether that's considered a heavier mitzvah. Right? And we know, you know, the stories. I mean, first of all, think about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was standing at the entrance to his tent, right? On the third day after his bris milah. Standing at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And what was he doing? He was looking for people to help. He was actively looking to help another person. Right? This is what the mindset we have to have. We have to be on the lookout to be able to perform mitzvahs, to be able to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to help other people. On the lookout, constantly. And I remember hearing stories about Rav Shlomo Karbach, that he would roam, you know, he would kind of roam the streets because he couldn't sleep, because he just wanted to help another person. He was looking for the opportunity to help another person. And the reality is, If we think about it for a second and we realize that any single mitzvah is infinitely greater than any reward in this world, right? There's nothing in this world, no physical item in this world that's more valuable and will last longer than one mitzvah, than any one mitzvah a person performs. Right? There's a story this reminds me of. Rav Machlis told us about in yeshiva that I think it was actually just recently printed in the Sefer and the book on his wife, the Rebbetzin, that there would be a man who would come over to their house, and the first time he came over about, I think it was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and he asked Rebbetzin Machlis, Rebbetzin, it would mean so much to me if you can help me make a homemade whole wheat pizza. So this man wasn't just asking, you know, to eat a homemade whole wheat pizza, he was asking for a tutorial. So the Rebbetzin, in her gracious way, said, of course, okay, and she sat there with him, and she gave him a tutorial on how to make homemade whole wheat pizza, and afterwards he ate it. And this happened. Every few weeks he would come back, usually at, you know, at odd hours, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and ask for the Rebbetzin to every single time, not just make this pizza for him, but to give him the tutorial over again. So anybody who's been, had the schus to be in the Malchus's house, they know that it's a dwelling of holiness. And typically the way it works is the guests, if there are guests staying over, so they're usually staying around the living room, dining room area, there are some couches there. And then typically, unless it's family, you don't go to the back part of the house, which is where the children's bedrooms are and the Rebbetzin, the Rebbetzin's bedroom was. So at about 1 o'clock one morning, there's a knock on their bedroom door. So they ask, who's there? So this man answers, hi, it's me. I wanted to know if we'd be able to make some homemade whole wheat pizza. And Rav Machlis says, the great tzaddik as he is, he felt that this was too far. Right? For many of us, we would have felt it's too far to have whoever they would like sleeping in our house. Right? For others, it might be too much for, you know, whenever a person comes to make a tutorial, every single time they have the patience to sit down and teach them over and over again. Right? But for them, they Rav Machlis had so much patience throughout that this was finally the point that it was too much for him. So his wife turns to him, the Rebbetzin turns to him and says, if somebody was at our door at 1 o'clock in the morning and offering us $1 million, would we not jump up at the opportunity to take it? Right, so guys, how much more so at the opportunity to perform a mitzvah? We have to constantly ask ourselves that. Would we jump up at the opportunity for this special honor, for this special prize, you know, for this money, for whatever it would be? Would we run at that opportunity? So how much more so a mitzvah that is so infinitely greater than any physical opportunity or gift? And he quotes the Gemara here, he finds a beautiful siman in the Gemara. Right, that a person should be careful, should be cautious with what's referred to as an easy or a light mitzvah. Perish, zahir miloshon v'hamaskilim, Yazhiru. That Zahir is not only a lashon of being cautious, but could be also understood as a lashon of, like Zohar, to illuminate. As it says, those who are wise shall shine. Right? The lashon of Zahir is a lashon of shining. And what is that coming to teach us? Rotzelomer, ha-neshama tazir v'tarmi mitzvah kala kibachamura. That the neshama receives illumination, whether it's from a small mitzvah or whether it's from a heavier, more chamor, bigger mitzvah. And that's why havei zahir b'mitzvah kala. It doesn't just mean a person should be cautious to perform a light or easy mitzvah, but also that we should understand havei zahir, havei zohar, that there's a great light that illuminates the neshama, regardless of the size of the mitzvah we perform. And I think at times, it's very difficult for us to internalize this. And it's easy to make the mistake that because we're performing a mitzvah, that might be easier for us, so maybe that mitzvah is now considered less significant. Right? And I would venture to guess that the reason for this is because the world often preaches a mindset of quantity over quality. But that's not our mindset. Our mindset is Echad Hamarba ve'echad Amamit uvulvad she'chavin libo l'shamayim. Right? It's not about whether a person does more or a person does less. What's important is that a person's heart is focused towards Shemayim. And that's why it ends off, Ki Rachmana Liba Bai. And we'll talk about that in a second. But the idea is here, and I think this is really the theme of the piece, are we trying to focus here on quality or are we trying to focus here on quantity? Right? Because learn a little bit of Musar. Or a lot. But do some Musar. Right? Be focused on your actions and perform good actions, even if it's a small action. Even if you're just doing, this is your action of the day, this is your mitzvah of the day, do something. Because it's not necessarily about quality. Right? A person, for example, let's say a person gives tzedakah, right? And they give a quarter to tzedakah, they give a shekel to tzedakah. They can make somebody's day with that shekel. Not because a shekel is everything they needed to pull themselves out of poverty, but because it's about how you do it. What was the quality of the mitzvah? Were they smiling? Did they give the person, the ani collecting, did they give them some words of confidence, some words of love? Right? Versus you can give somebody $20 and you can make them depressed. Right? You take $20 and you throw them at them. You throw it at them, chas v'shalom. Or you do it in a judgmental way. You make them feel like, wow, you're an ani. You need my hand out. You need me. Right? So it's not necessarily, very often it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. Same thing if a person decides they're going to, you know, say some tehillim for somebody who's sick. So are we just focusing on the quantity? I'm going to say 15 parakim of tehillim for this person who's sick. Because I really want them to feel better, which is an amazing thing to do. We're not putting that down here. Right? But maybe we could also start focusing on the quality. Right? What if I said one parakim of tehillim or five parakim of tehillim and I'm actually focusing on it? And I'm actually thinking about the words as I'm saying them. And I'm actually putting some emotion into it. Versus, okay, maybe I'm saying 15 parakim of tehillim, but, you know, I'm checking my phone, or I'm thinking about, you know, my next meeting, or what I'm going to be eating for dinner. And I'm not saying there isn't still value to such tehillim. There is. I believe there is. But at the same time, can we start living our lives in a way that's focused on quality and not solely focused on quantity? As he ends off here, Aleph, ki rachmana li babai. Right, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, He wants our hearts. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu longs for. He longs for our hearts. So we have to ask ourselves, can we start a revolution of heartful living? Right? Just putting my heart into everything I'm doing. Because the heart has been very much removed from our everyday life. It's been replaced with routine. It's been replaced with our phones. It's been replaced with social media. It's been replaced with so many distractions. But we have to try and take a stand and try and say, in my own life, I'm going to start with myself, and I'm going to say that in the relationships that I have, whether it's with a spouse or whether it's with a friend or with a teacher or with a student, whatever that relationship is, I'm going to reinvest my heart into it. And reinvest in a quality way. If I can't reinvest in a quantity way, reinvest in a quality way. That the time I spend with this person, I'm actually with them. I'm thinking about them. I'm actually listening to what they have to say, and I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. And additionally, in our avodas Hashem, right? In our avodas Hashem, when we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously, these relationships are part of our avodas Hashem, but when we're talking about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what about that relationship? Are we reinvesting our heart into that relationship? Or do we go in one minyan and come out, and we're still the same person? Or daven one tefillah, and when we're done, we feel like, okay, nothing's changed. I don't feel like that was an interaction with God. And now this is really hard. This is obviously a really big struggle for us nowadays. And I think it, you know, it's in all cultures, and I think it's in all sects of our religion, that it's a very difficult thing to be focusing on quality, be present enough to improve the quality of our everyday life and our everyday interactions and our service of God. It's difficult. And some would even say it's against nature. Nowadays. But that's our job. Our job is to go above nature and to reinfuse our lives with heart. So in review, the goal here is to serve God in a way that's simple, in a way that's heartfelt, right? And to be learning Musar, which will help put us in the mindset where we can ask ourselves on a daily basis, how can we bring more quality to our everyday life and our different relationships? Right? Because think about it with a husband and a wife. If a person gives a small gift, but they put their heart into that gift. They put a letter. Maybe they gift wrap it. Maybe it's something that the person was you know, excited about, or the other spouse was looking forward to receiving. Maybe they had mentioned how it's something they would really appreciate. Right, so that gift means a lot. Versus you could buy somebody a car, and if you just leave it in the driveway, you don't even tell them. You don't give a note. You're not excited. You're not, oh yeah, I got that for you. No big deal. That doesn't mean so much. Right, so we're going to try. We have to try and get to a place to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything wants our heart. Rachmana li babai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our heart. He wants quality service. So even if we only have the ability to perform a small mitzvah, we have to believe in that mitzvah. And we have to put our heart into that mitzvah. We have to believe that our neshama and the world is being illuminated from that very, very mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us be on the lookout to perform more and more mitzvahs. Right? And he should help us to perform them with the greatest level of simcha and the greatest level of heartfulness. Thank you so much. You should have a great day, a happy day, a heartful day.